Son, never stop learning.
A crowd of 20,000 people stands in an open field, straining to hear one man's voice without a microphone, without amplification of any kind. That man is George Whitefield, an English Anglican preacher, and the year is 1739. He is not inside a church. He has no permanent congregation. Yet colonists from Georgia to Massachusetts are reading about him in newspapers, debating him in taverns, and traveling miles on foot just to hear him speak. That single fact tells you something profound, Connie. A religious movement had become the first truly shared cultural event across the 13 colonies. Now, to understand why Whitefield's arrival hit so hard, you need to feel the spiritual atmosphere that preceded it. Colonial religion in the early 1730s was, by many accounts, formal and cold. Church membership carried social weight. Baptism was inherited. Piety was often more about community standing than personal conviction. The central evangelical question, "What must I do to be saved?" was not being asked with urgency. Think of it like a fire that has burned down to embers. The structure is still there, the hearth is still standing, but the heat is gone. The earliest sparks of revival actually appeared among Dutch Reformed congregations in New Jersey during the 1720s. The Tennant family, William and his four clergymen sons, then pushed Presbyterian revivals through Pennsylvania and New Jersey in the 1730s. They trained fervent preachers specifically to reignite that fire. The movement drew on Puritanism, Pietism, and Presbyterianism, older Protestant traditions that had always insisted faith must be felt, not just performed. Jonathan Edwards changed the sermon itself. In the winter of 1734 to 1735, Edwards led a major revival in Northampton, Massachusetts. He preached a series on justification by faith. His method was precise and devastating. He did not simply tell people they were sinners. He made them feel the weight of it, vivid, visceral descriptions of divine judgment pressed against the listener's conscience. Edwards interpreted revival as a genuine work of God, but he also carefully documented the emotional and psychological experiences of his converts. That documentation mattered. His account was published as a faithful narrative of the surprising work of God, and it spread the Northampton story across the Atlantic. For example, readers in England and Scotland encountered this text and recognized the same pattern of conviction and conversion they were seeing in their own communities. Edwards proved that revival could be analyzed, described, and replicated. Whitefield then scaled it. His open-air preaching, beginning with his major colonial tours starting in 1739, shattered the assumption that religious authority lived inside a building with a settled minister. He had no fixed pulpit. That was the point. Itinerant preachers like Whitefield and Gilbert Tennant traveled across colonial regions, crossing denominational lines, reaching farmers and merchants and enslaved people alike. Newspapers and pamphlets carried their messages ahead of them and behind them. The awakening encouraged colonists in geographically separated communities to participate in a common religious culture. That means a farmer in South Carolina and a merchant in Boston were, for the first time, consuming the same religious content, debating the same preachers, and using the same vocabulary of conversion and new birth. The movement created a shared Anglo-American evangelical identity that no colonial governor had planned and no single church controlled. It also created conflict. Supporters of revivalist preaching became known as New Lights. Critics who defended established religious authority pushed back hard. The divide was real and lasting. The key idea to carry forward, Connie, is this. The First Great Awakening permanently shifted what religion meant in colonial America. It moved faith from an inherited social institution to a personal, chosen, emotionally verified experience. Church membership, baptism, family tradition, none of those, revivalists insisted, proved you were truly converted. The takeaway is not just theological. This movement crossed class lines, crossed geography, crossed denominations. It created the infrastructure, traveling preachers, print networks, shared emotional vocabulary that would later make collective colonial action imaginable. The awakening did not cause the revolution, but it taught colonists how to think of themselves as one people.